Who's on the call so far?
Dr. Sashko, me.
Dr. Friedman.
Alice Lee Bloom.
Lois Bradley.
This is Carolyn Hamburger.
Is Dr. Davis there yet?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Dave Griffith up here in Boise.
This is Hugh Thompson. I'm a dentist up here in BC.
This is Dr. Alan Sachi in Los Angeles.
Hi, Dr. Sachi.
Good evening.
Thank you for joining us. Dr. Schwartz?
Yeah.
Maybe you could share, while we're waiting for the rest of the doctors to chime in, can it give a two-minute highlight of what went on last week?
Okay. Basically, Dr. Marangel was there, and he gave some protocols for autism, and he was talking about Down syndrome. He was talking about stress relief, oxygen, essential fatty acids, B6 and magnesium, cutting out dairy products and wheat, and he also used, I think, 53. And he's had some phenomenal results. So that was an interesting contribution. Dr. Marangel discussed a little complicated. I don't know if I could even get into that, but he was talking about different theories about healing and energy, and he mentioned this book written by a German author, getting into different aspects of energy healing. I don't know the intricacies because we jumped around a bit. And then there was some subtle contributions from different people, questions. So all in all, it was just basically some sharing and tidbits here and there. That's the best summary I can give.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Dr. Davis and Dr. Stashko, I don't know who would like to start first on the central nervous system.
I'll volunteer Jeff. He can get started.
Jeff there?
Yeah, I just came on.
Okay.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
So you've been volunteered to start with the central nervous system.
Oh, cool.
Are you ready to do that? Or?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, I think instead of the central nervous system, I think we should just start with the autonomic nervous system. Boy, every day your eyes get opened up more and more to the power of these products. And I don't know whether it's the happenstance or just the way the universe works, but almost every day when we have a conference call, I get a miracle case with these products that I want to share with people. And today was no exception. And it drives home a point every time I see the power of these products and their effect on the nervous system in general and on autonomic response in particular. And so I'm going to share what happened today and then try and tie it together with the subject, which is the central nervous system and the gastrointestinal system. Because, as most of you know by now, I kind of live and die by a heart rate variability assessment of an outcome with a patient intervention. And today I had a very unique case with a woman who I hadn't seen for about 2 years. She came in, she had just been recently diagnosed with a possible lung carcinoma, and she was extremely distraught and pretty much in full sympathetic hypertonia. Parasympathetics downregulated as far as they could go, and sympathetic tone about as high as it could go. Resting heart rate was about 101, and standing was 109. We talked a little bit, and I was testing her with the EAV and finding out what was going on besides the stress of this apparent recent diagnosis. And about 3 months ago, she lost her brother to lung cancer, her younger brother. She's a 74-year-old woman. And so as I tested through her points, there was an extreme imbalance between the right and left side of the brain, a lot of stress at the thymus, and a lot of gastrointestinal stress. She has been experiencing symptoms in all of these areas along with some heart palpitations and so forth. And I realized in her totally distressed situation, she needed something that was going to really reach in there and calm down her hypersympathetic response. And so I went back and got Clear Mind, Rose Absolute, which I don't use a whole lot of, but I'm totally enamored with the product, and I think I'm going to be using a lot more of it, and thymus drops. And they balanced almost all the points that were high in the EAV, and I used a little bit of a tea that we have that's soothing to the gastrointestinal system as a carrier. And so I put 10 drops of each of the energy tools in with a small cup of this Chinese tea that we use. And it's basically just a tummy tea, and almost any relaxing nervine kind of tea is a great carrier for these products, like chamomile, etc., even peppermint, whatever. I gave her the mixture and had her sip on it for a while, and she felt much, much better and more energized. And so we went over and we made another heart rate variability. And she went from high upper left quadrant, as I said, which is sympathetic hypertonia, and had a complete reversal to a vagotonic effect. And she moved down to, I think, 70 beats per minute at rest and about 77 or 78. about a 30 beat per minute heart rate variability drop in a 15-minute intervention. She went from hypersympathetic tone to a vagotonic effect. Well, I don't know what most of the other guys feel, but I know that a hypersympathetic, excited, stressed-out nervous system cannot run the show properly. And if we have anything that can encourage and induce vagotonia, a relaxation of this response, and a vagotonic effect, this is when the healing response begins in human beings and in animals. And I think this is why the energy tools are valuable both with humans and with pets and animals, because distress equals disharmony equals dis-ease equals disease ultimately. For me, the holy grail in alternative medicine and biological medicine is any substances that help us move from hypersympathetic tone to a vagotonic effect. And this was just an outstanding reaction to a very minor intervention. But what did we affect? We affected the central nervous system. We affected the right-left side of the brain. We affected the thymic response and the emotional response and the immune response. And we also affected the gastrointestinal system, which is richly innervated and, in fact, is the second brain. And so I think the subject matter for the evening of gastrointestinal and digestive balancing along with central nervous system are inextricably linked, and that if we can positively affect the vagal response in the gastrointestinal system, we can positively affect the entire central nervous system. And so I think it's a good springboard, a good story for us to start and share our experiences tonight and to think about these energy tools in a little bit different way, in a bit of a different combination. And one other case we had today, I used GI Aid with vanadium and CNS support together, again with a little T as a carrier, and had a very nice response there with a chronic case of a pretty healthy woman that I've done a lot of work with, but she's always parasympathetically downregulated. She has a normal sympathetic tone, and people can live there very well, but it was a combination that moved her to an even better place than where she had been, even though she's a pretty healthy gal. And so my insight, I guess, for the evening is that we need to look at the nervous system of the gastrointestinal tract and its effect on the overall sympathetic response, as well as our effect energetically on the brain, right-left brain, and the central nervous system.
Dr. Jeff?
Yes?
Does the tea seem to calm the GI system as well? Is that why you use that?
Yeah, well, it does that, and it acts as a carrier, and it gives the person, in my opinion, I think it gives them time to absorb the energy and to accept it in an easier and a gentler way than just slugging it and throwing it into the system and trying to reverse your engines rapidly. And so I've worked with delivery systems a little bit more with the energy tools and find that it plays a minor role, but I think it's more a way of delivering it in sips and in small energetic doses over a period of time from 5 to 7 to maybe 10 minutes rather than just mixing it together and down the hatch, which is the way a lot of people take it. With our pediatrics, we often put it in juices or in little teas or whatever is their favorite beverage and have them use it over a longer period of time, and it seems we get better results there also. And I started doing that more with adults, delivering it in a beverage that makes you take time out of your life a little bit and just do something nice for yourself. And so I think the delivery system does help a person take a little bit of a time out. And that's the way I look at it. You know, I don't think that's what created a 30 beat per minute drop in the heart rate by any stretch of the imagination. But it definitely does deliver the energy into the body and into the gastrointestinal tract along with something that is good for us and soothing and warming and that sort of thing. So, you know, we can dabble with our delivery of the energy tools and see what response we get from our patients. It certainly doesn't hurt.
Jeff?
Yes.
Jerry Schwartz here. Two things. Do you think that by the total amount of knowledge that you have in your practice and all the experience, that just a person coming into your office and just having a conversation with you and you're talking to them, do you think you're emitting a certain energy to them too by your understanding and your compassion and your wide array of knowledge?
Sometimes I just upgraded my system to do 2-channel work. if I'm spending the time talking with somebody, I can watch our interaction, I can monitor myself as well as the patient, and this is designed for psychological counseling and so forth, to watch the interaction between the therapist and the patient.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case today, I was really in a crush in the office because I had a little glitch in one of my computers, and so it's kind of in and out of the room with her, and I'm like, okay, I just got to throw some water on this fire. What's going to put the fire out for me?
Right.
And so I wasn't in a counseling situation or a real heavy rapport with her when I did this. So it was kind of a good experiment. In fact, it kind of shocked me. I would have been glad to knock 10, 12 beats per minute off of her and just get her out of harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tremendously powerful effect. And I was in the room, put the program together, and had one of the gals, I said, okay, give her this, this, and this, and just tell her to sip this for 10 minutes, and then we'll go redo her heart rate. And then I was going to bat some cleanup based on what I saw there. In this particular case, her sympathetic catatonia was obviously induced by stress and her mental state and so forth, but her physiology is 100% real. The stress response, the adrenal response is 100% real. Anything that abrogates that and puts somebody back to normal allows them to come out of distress and deal with their stress.
So stress relief wouldn't have been one of the things you chose?
Well, I went for the Rose Absolute because I think it's like kicking it up a notch from stress relief.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know what else I put in there. Heart chakra. Heart chakra with the thymus.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, what was the combo that we used? It was four. It was heart chakra, thymus, clear mind, and the Rose Absolute.
Wow.
And I think the heart chakra and Rose Absolute are incredibly more designed for dealing with emotional shock trauma. And as is, I think the thymus goes both ways. But boy, she needed energy to deal with all the stuff that was going on. And she didn't have that energy. And so she was just stuck in this place. And I didn't have anything else biologically that could provide that to her than the energy tools. And so it was just an extraordinary case, but it drove home a point to me that I guess was one of the first points that I saw with energy tools. When I first tested them for the very first time, I look back and go, you know, I forget what was available, maybe five or six products initially. And they were so yes or no when you tested them energetically, but they also had such a dramatic effect on the vagotonic effect, on inducing a relaxation response to the sympathetic nervous system. You can't heal them if you're constantly in that stress response.
Mm-hmm.
All your physiology is at, it's almost like the difference between normal energy physiology and starvation physiology. All the counter-regulatory hormones are pouring out. Your body's in a fight-flight mode for an extended period of time. We do a whole lecture on starvation physiology, what happens to people that get into the cachexia of cancer and that sort of thing, why the body would prefer to tear down its own fat and its own protein, its own muscle mass, over digesting and absorbing and utilizing food, even when the person is replenished and replete with food. We've all seen people in cancer starve to death in front of our eyes while they're still eating.
Yeah, they're in catabolic state.
They're in a total catabolic state, which is very, very difficult to reverse physiological catabolism.
Mm-hmm.
But the first step in reversing that is stopping the hypersympathetic response and the outpouring of the counter-regulatory hormones from the pancreas and the adrenal and the gastrointestinal system.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I look for in what combination of these products will achieve that end for me. I'm sure everyone else is seeing that and has some insight into that. I'd like to get some of that from Dr. Davis and Dr. Stashko and see what they think about it, as well as everybody else on the call.
Dr. Davis there?
Yes. I appreciate Jeff and I appreciate his work, even though we've never physically met through our conferences on these discussions. I always sense that he's kind of my mirror image or something out there because his thought patterns are running the same track that mine do most of the time. But our focus is the CNS. I look at it a little differently because I'm still in that outpatient phenomena. I deal with folks not in shock trauma. I don't deal with them in the life and death mode as far as ICU. I'm a traditional alternative doctor with an outpatient practice with about 40 to 50% of the patients surviving cancer issues, about another 30, 40% dealing with the chronic fatigue fibromyalgia issues, and then just a whole grab bag of other issues that folks are just trying to figure out how to get well from a toxic environment. So our discussion tonight is on the central nervous system, and basically, as Jeff started out with, and I'm in a complete agreement with, is
is that what we have is kind of a triad. What you have is the brain function, central nervous system function. We have autonomic system deregulation because of sympathetic hyper-response. Where does the sympathetic hyper-response? We'll just review, but it has to do with our diet, our lifestyle, and our relationships. And what happens is that we get caught up in the coping mechanisms, and in that what happens is we have this ongoing surge of adrenal hormones and catabolizing hormones of cortisol. As they move in age, they have a diminishing return of the ability to make their procreation hormones and their stabilization hormones of the progesterone, estrogens, and testosterone. So the guys lose their testosterone capability, gals lose their progesterone capabilities, they go perimenopausal, and they got the chronic fatigue, the fibromyalgia, they don't feel well. If we look at an energetic clock, 24-hour system, is at 16 hours of daytime energy. We generally find they are difficult getting out of bed in the morning, and they have more difficulty after lunch, 2 to 5 in that neighborhood. And then we find they have sleep deprivation at night, and they're deregulated. And so the healing cycles of the parasympathetic system of nighttime recovery are not being dealt with or not being naturally supported. And then the daytime energies are looking for stimulants to be able to keep them moving. So when I was introduced to energy tools a few years ago, what I found, something very simple. The product Stress Relief helps diffuse the stressors of the daytime or that sympathetic drive. Now, since I first came on board, there's been a couple other products that have been developed that Jeff had already shared. That would be the Rose Absolute, Clear Mind, the Tranquility, Hypothalamax, Balance, CNS Support. Then there's an herbal blend of Magnolia Stress and Jujube Sleep. Now, when we look at this, it gets real confusing and real complicated when you're due to the subtle energy. But the bottom line is, what I use is very simple. What I do is I ask patients, are you able to go to sleep at night? And if they say yes, then the next question is, do you wake up at all during the evening? And they'll generally tell me, female specifically, 3 or 4 times a night. If they're waking up 2 or 3 or 4 times a night, what's going on is they're in that ongoing leftover adrenal stress hormone that won't allow them to go into that deep sleep for recovery. What happens is in the process, they will diffuse a number of their biological timings. As an example, you'll produce about 80% of your growth hormone in the second hour of sleep as you will any other time during the day. You also produce your estrogens, progesterones, and testosterones in the last 2 to 3 hours of sleep. And so when we look at these folks and modulated sleep deprivation, the Jujube Sleep Aid in combination with the Magnolia Stress is a wonderful sleep tonic. So what I do is in a shot glass of water, juice, or tea, you know, nighttime tea, sleepy time teas, whatever, put anywhere from about 5 to 10 drops of each of these. I start with 10 drops because I don't know where to go with them most of the time. So we start with 10, and if they're able to get through the night, that's okay. If they're not, then what we do is we inch up on it, maybe add a couple of drops of each. And if they feel real dead in the head the next morning, it may be too much, so we back it off. So we just work the symptom game with them. And we get them into a regulatory system because if they get the sleeping taken care of, then the daytime energies start to become more available. The areas in the daytime is just ongoing stress. It's the woulda, coulda, shoulda, it's the panic that goes on all day long. If there has been a deregulation as it relates to trauma, what I generally find is in our chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia world, what we'll find is their hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis has been completely deregulated, and about half of those patients have been injured. They have got some kind of a whiplash or a head trauma. I just basically ask them if they've had a head trauma, and if they've had a head trauma, did it knock them out? And then how much later from that incident did we start developing some of these symptoms? And you'll find very quickly, in a couple years of the head trauma is when the fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndromes will begin to manifest as a clinical syndrome. What I found is the hypothalamic has a wonderful regulatory mechanism along with balance, which is another remedy to be able to kind of capture that hypothalamus pituitary reflex. Also for the energy balancing left and right brain, as well as trying to bring the system back on track. That we also find during the day, folks who are in persistent chronic stress, I found that Stress Relief was able, by taking 4 or 5 drops every time you had the sense, because here's the drill. The drill is when you have impending doom, which is definition of stress, when you have impending doom coming upon you, then you're going to have your stress reaction. If you are in a tremendous physical health, if you're in optimal health, then you're going to deal with it and cope with it. But if you are a chronic fatigue fibromyalgia person or anxiety depressed person, what's going to happen, the same exact stimuli creates a greater sympathetic reaction. So all patients know when that's going to happen. and they have a prodromal, they have a feeling that I'm not quite, something's up. And so, and it could be just going to church, it could be going to the grocery store, it could be getting in their car and going across town. So what I have them do as a Band-Aid is I keep the stress relief or Magnolia Stress, and whenever they sense this impending doom coming, taking two or three drops, they can actually put it under their tongue. The Magnolia does a better job than stress relief because of the mineral charge. So with the Magnolia Stress, a couple of drops under the tongue, and what you do is two things. You'll blunt the cortisol release, and you'll modulate the adrenal reaction, the anxiety reaction. And by doing this for approximately 21 days, both daytime and nighttime energy, you'll begin to get the patient to re-regulate. And we get their nighttime recovery and their daytime energy regulating. Then what will happen is an awful lot of their anxiety and their fears and phobias and their depressions will go away because they're just beginning to re-regulate. As a balancing act, sometimes when folks having difficulty making decisions, doing the left-right brain behavior athletically, as well as what they do in the business world and in the negotiation world, clear mind, very, very good. We use this with students. We use it with business execs. And what we do is just tell them if they're getting ready to go in for a test as a student, take clear mind. A few drops in stress relief, a few drops just before the test, and you'll find that you'll modulate that anxiety reaction that happens, which gives them that mental block that they can't remember, and their brain will start to flood with opportunity to be able to do better in their academics. Tranquility, I have found, has a profound effect of being able to deal with two types of behaviors, which I see almost automatic, and that is when a child in the ADD-ADHD world is so frustrated that they're angry and can be hurtful to other people in their family, tranquility will take that anger out. We've also found that in the adult early Alzheimer's patient who is frustrated with the loss of memory and becomes angry and irritable and hard to live with, tranquility helps to take that edge off of them. We're finding as well tranquility for the female perimenopausal who's having a little hot flash related to her mild depression. It'll also take that edge off. And so we find it's not a matter of some of the nutritional protocols that we've used in the past. We have to wait 3 to 6 weeks to really determine whether or not it's working. The beauty of these subtle energy formulas is they work almost instantly. And so a couple of doses, you know that we either are there or not there. For those who do muscle testing, applied kinesiology, heart rate variable, any of the electrodermal screening, electroacupuncture, can access quicker, faster, easier which ones would work best with a patient, but I'm just using this as kind of a shotgun approach to the variety of different ways in which we use this. An indispensable nutrient of the subtle energy is the Oxygen Plus. A number of years ago, I was presented with a concept, and the person at the platform made a statement, and it just hit so hard. It's one of those moments you have those every once in a while in a conference where somebody, you'll be there 4 or 5 days, and finally somebody gets up and then clearing his throat makes a comment, and that thing kind of changes your life. And that's kind of what happened at this conference with this gentleman. He basically said all disease and all dysfunction is acid hypoxia at the cellular level. And any way that you can turn that around, you'll improve the outcome. I said, well, how do we do that? And of course, they gave us a whole barrage of things to do. But the issue is Oxygen Plus is one of the fastest ways that I've seen out of all of the oxygen therapies, the ozone therapies, the manipulated water therapies, the alkaline water therapies, all the tinctures, potions, and puddings and pies that are out there. Oxygen Plus is one of the fastest ways to get the saturation oxygen in the tissues to shift and move to accelerate what we're trying to do in the healing mode. So whatever you're doing nutrition-wise and diet-wise, exercise-wise and thought-wise, if you can improve the oxygen tension, you'll do better. So when I add any of these remedies, we're adding the Oxygen Plus as another part of their supplement routine, and we just find that they do better, quicker, faster, which of course is what everybody's goal is.
Thanks very much, Dr. Davis.
Oh, you bet.
Does anybody have any questions of Dr. Marangel or Dr. Davis?
I have one question. Maybe it's not related totally to the topic, but has anybody come across a protocol to work with cerebral palsy?
Good question. I actually have two patients. One is a young man who is now 28 years old that lives in Oregon. I live in California. It's about a 5-hour drive for them to come see me. This young man went in for a hot appendix when he was 12 years old, and via the anesthetic, apparently, he had an allergic reaction. And when he came out of the surgery, the surgery was successful, but it left him partially paralyzed, left side of the body. And then within about 6 months, he went into a cerebral palsy behavior in his neuromuscular condition. But more importantly, he would develop seizures where he would have a seizure every 3 to 5 minutes. It was almost a continuous grand mal. And they hospitalized him, and they did some very heavy invasive procedures just to get the seizures under control. They put him into a controlled coma. And when they brought him back out, they were hoping that that would normalize him, did not. And so when I saw him for the very first time 5 years ago, his motor skills were significantly impaired, and his seizure behavior, his brainstorming, was still at least 2 to 3 a week with being on medication. So what we did with him, we first did some biological workup. Just looking, I do biological training, so we found out kind of where he's at in his chemistries. We did an oxalic acid test, discovered that his digestive tract was shot, his liver was significantly impaired as far as dealing with his glutathione levels were shot, virtually zero on this particular test that's done through Great Plains. He had a yeast overgrowth infection of 4 different organisms of the yeast form, and then he also had heavy metal toxicity of aluminum, cadmium, mercury, and lead. So we began doing a chelation protocol. We began doing a regulatory system of his digestive tract. We began doing everything of the traditional conventions until about 3 years ago when I met Constance and Yuri and had a conference call. I think Jeff was on it. And we began using the Tranquility, Clear Mind Stress Relief. Hypo, I think at the time, was balanced when we first started. He's been on product now for about a year and a half. I say he's 28 years old. He's got his driver's license. He's on his own, and he's functional. And if you were to walk across the grocery store shopping, you would notice that he probably has a little bit of a mild tremor, left-sided. He looks like he's going to stumble but doesn't, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a, I hate to say this, like a mild drunk. It's like he's there, but he's not. He looks like he's a little impaired.
Mm-hmm.
But he is completely functional on his own going to college.
Oh, great.
And so the protocol is we use GI Aid. At that time, it was Golden Warmer. It was now GI Aid. We use Clear Mind, Balance. We've now moved him to hypothalamics. He uses stress relief 3 to 4 times during the day. At night, he uses Magnolia Stress and Jujube. I'm doing some other nutritional things and some herbal things, but those are the things that I saw dramatically move him in the direction that we wanted. And the wonderful thing was about a year ago, his mom came down, drove the 5 hours just to see me personally, and tears in her eyes because she knew that her son would be a complete dependent in their family for his entire life. And it's like, you know, they're in their late 50s, early 60s. I think dad's like 62, mom's like 58. And they were just kind of thinking that he was going to be completely dependent on them because he could not function on the medication he was on, nor could he have any chance of having any kind of a normalcy of life. And the thing of it is, he's on his own. And moved him into his own apartment. They kind of were fear and trembling, nail biting for about 6 weeks, wondering if he could take care of himself. And the thing of it is, he's done fine.
Dr. Davis, did you say earlier that you add Oxygen Plus to all your remedies?
Yes, I do.
You do. How many drops?
We always start out with everybody. It's like 3 to 5 drops, 2 to 3 times a day during the day.
And you believe that that's better than any alkalizing water that's on the market or clustered or anything?
No, I believe it's the best cellular oxygenating support that I've ever seen. It's a little tricky. See, the point is the cell level, the cellular system, cytoplasm, needs to be alkaline. Unfortunately, because of the toxic world, toxic food, and toxic emotions, most Americans are slightly acidic in the cellular cytoplasm. It's been estimated by some of those from Germany that the cellular cytoplasm runs around 7.3, 7.4, and it will actually drop down to about 5.5 before it actually either goes on self-destruct or it goes into a cancer cell. A number of people out there speaking on those types of behaviors. What I find is I've used all kinds of variety of techniques to try to make that change. When you're looking at biological fluids to make the change is one thing, but when you're looking at oxygen behavior as far as athletes in endurance and those that are emphysemas that are having difficulty carrying on their little oxygen bottle, those kinds of things, and when those individuals in each of those camps perform better in their athletic endeavors, and then when those that are struggling are able to come off by just using a few drops of energy-charged mineral, pretty impressive.
Don't forget diabetics.
Not only diabetics, but also...
hypoglycemics, but...
Hypoglycemic.
Glucose regulation or dysregulation. Oxygen Plus is tremendous for
them. It's unbelievable. And then along with that is essential hypertensives.
Oh, yeah.
We've actually seen systolics drop 20 points in 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It really
which
is.
The Syndrome X also?
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I think that we have a Syndrome X epidemic. And Oxygen Plus is one of the main tools to kind of undo what's going on.
Mm-hmm. If you think of what the Oxygen Plus does, you have to think of what makes a cell acid in the first place, which is the most abundant organic acid in the human body, is carbon dioxide. And so when you change a gradient of oxygen flow at the cellular level, almost by definition, initially you get huge releases or exchanges of carbon dioxide out of the body. And that's what shifts your acid alkaline function in the cytoplasm and at the cellular level, is changing the partial pressure of oxygen, and the oxygen utilization at the cell enhances the excretion of carbon dioxide. Would you agree, Dr. Davis?
Yeah, exactly right.
They're going to get tired at first with Oxygen Plus if they're highly acid. So you guys have to understand the mechanism of action. They're going to yawn a lot. They're going to be tired a lot. They're going to get gas in the bowel. And it won't be from rotting food. When our blood CO2 level goes up, the body stores the excess CO2 as gas in the bowel. That's why people that come out of surgery after they've been anesthetized, they don't eat before, but because they've had respiratory suppression, they have bloating and gas after a surgery. This is a common post-surgical problem, and it's because the CO2 goes from the blood into a gas form because the blood's saturated with CO2, and so the body stores it in the bowel, and we yawn and we get gas and so forth when we have an excess of carbon dioxide. And so if you get them off of grains and sugars and refined starches, which are carbon dioxide contributors and make a lot of carbon dioxide in their metabolism, you can help people with lung problems, with emphysemas, with, of course, with the diabetes, and push the Oxygen Plus. But you have to know what to tell your patients to expect in the first few days when they're taking it. If they're borderline hypoxic, they'll feel a lot better. If they're very hypoxic and very acid, they're going to feel a little worse at first because they have a lot of organic acid to download.
Don't you find that it's only like a 3 to 5 day window?
Oh, yeah. It's a window of 3 to 5 days. But it's always better to tell a patient what to expect on the downside before it happens than say, oh, yeah, that was a Herxheimer reaction or something. If you predict it, they don't mind it so much.
Well, it gives them something to look forward to.
Yeah, the light at the end of the tunnel after 3 to 5 days, even 7 days, stretch it out, give yourself a couple extra days. And if they feel better earlier, they'll go, hey, that only lasted 3 days. You go, oh, that usually lasts a week to 10 days.
Right.
So I stretch my window knowing that the occasional ones, it's going to take them a week to 10 days, but the vast majority are going to feel a lot better in 3 to 5 days. So there's a little psychology involved there, but gives you a bigger window to look through. I think we're really all on the same page with getting our biorhythms back, getting the parasympathetic response back. We're all seeing the same thing, and we're just trying to inform everybody that gets on the calls and trying to help everybody out with getting better clinical success by painting with a broader brush, by looking at the bigger principles of re-regulating the central nervous system and giving the body what it needs energetically to do so. It's what the energy tools are all about, providing the energy to adapt. And what illness is really a failure to adapt to a chronic stress, to a chronic toxicity, to an extreme emotional shock trauma or a physical shock trauma. Dr. Davis brought up earlier in the conversation about head trauma, closed head injuries, and whiplash. Could not agree more. I had a gal with fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, etc. And when I tested her, she did not have the normal heart rate variability or EAV picture that we see with true chronic fatiguers. And so I kept digging deeper into her case. And she was extremely dysregulated on the hypothalamic axis and looked more like a closed head injury. So I said, what kind of closed head injury did you ever have? Did you ever have a trauma to the head, especially prepubescent, because it seems that you've never had a normal hormonal cycle, a normal regulated menstrual cycle. When she was 12 years old, she was from Canada and the kids were playing around. Some boy threw a rock, a good-sized rock, and hit her in the back of the head. And she was extremely traumatized, not quite knocked unconscious, but she had this physical trauma, and she was staying at a friend's, and of course she ran in the house crying and screaming that she was hurt, you know, and da-da-da. And nobody was around to comfort her, and Daddy was kind of the old lumberjack school and says, well, just sit down there and cowboy up, you know, and quit your crying, and you'll get over it. So she not only had the physical trauma, then she had to suck it up and kind of suppress
the emotional response that comes with being traumatized too. So she got a double whammy in that effect. The timeline on head traumas can be very long. And if no one ever asks about it in the case history or deals with it, they can go through all types of therapies and so forth and so on. Am I right, Dr. Davis?
That's exactly right.
They can have these things for 15, 20 years. This gal was now 28 years old. So 16 years ago, she got hit in the head with a rock, and she suffered for probably 10 to 12 years with chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and hormonal dysregulation and yada, 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 and eventually just muscle weakness and ataxia and everything. From getting hit right in the back of the head in the right occipital area, brainstem, hypothalamic area, when she was 12 years old. So these are all questions that need to be asked on a regular basis when you're taking a case history with someone, and you'll start to see the patterns that we see.
The beauty is we have remedies now to actually affect that region that's been traumatized.
Absolutely.
Then that's the most exciting thing, because it's one thing to get the information and go, oh, yeah, you know, there's another one of those ones that's going to be real trouble because they've had a head trauma and it knocked them out or knocked them kind of lulu for a while and they kind of whined about it. Nobody paid attention. And then in doing so, they went on about life and stressing and all that. But that becomes a weak zone. So the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis then gets skewed. And then what happens is the whole hormonal regulatory system just goes into the pot. So.
Yep. I couldn't agree more. You know, years ago, we'd see these things, but we didn't have the tools to deal with them. And that's why I just love calling these the energy tools, because they are just that. They are just an armamentarium of tools to put in our tool bags that we never had before. And we were really frustrated as clinicians, all of us, seeing something but not having the right instrument or the right product availability to help the person deal with it. And it makes clinical practice so much more rewarding and so much better and so much more predictable in your outcomes by having the energy tools in your bag. We should have 200 doctors on the call, not 30 or 40. One of the things I want to do is extend an invitation to the doctors that are on to tell your colleagues and your friends, hey, look, you got to get on and listen to one of these things. We don't care whether you start using these products right away or believe it or don't believe it or whatever, but you got to find out about this, because it is some of the most exciting new medicine, new energy that's out there of anything almost any of us have seen in the last decade of clinical practice.
No, exactly right.
And we got to share it. We really got to turn people on to this, because there are so many hurting folks out there that need a miracle and have tried everything. And these are a big key to their success.
Oh, exactly right.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking with Dr. Benjamin Rothstein over here, who's also in alternative medicine, and was telling him about the conference tonight. And he's a naturopath, and he said with these energy tools or drops that they don't work if there's blocks in the energy flow or something like that. And I didn't know exactly what he meant by that, but he does cranial sacral manipulations. My training is more traditional, and I just started in the alternative health care a couple years ago. But anyways, are there ways in which these energy drops won't work because of something to do with blockages?
If I understand what he is saying, which is a common vernacular in the world of alternative medicine, all disease is blocked energy. In the Chinese world, with the acupuncture system and the meridian flow, we have an expansion of energy and a recovery of energy that takes place on a regular basis. That's your sympathetic, parasympathetic, the yin and the yang, and those variety of different discussions that go on about what all this energy is all about. There is no question when a person is stuck, when they have a disease or an ailment, they have a chronic illness, they have blocked energy. That's why they're not healthy. Now, here's the riddle. The riddle is, how do we overcome the block? Now, 100 years ago, in Redding, California, if you wanted to dig a hole and do some post hole digging, what you do is you get one of those post hole things and you break your back trying to dig things in this concrete around here, which we call clay, that happens when it's 118 degrees. Or you can go down and you can get yourself one of them drills and you just sit and drink soda water and Gatorade or whatever these guys do and then have that little thing drill. You're achieving the same thing. You're trying to poke a hole in the dirt, and the dirt is like concrete. You can do it physically and manually, or you can use a device. And so in the world of alternative medicine, we all agree that individuals that are in an impaired health state their impairment is energy deregulation or it's blocked. What you have to do is put things into the system that will overcome that. And so there's no question that massage therapy and acupuncture and reflexology and dealing with scars and all these other variety of things that go on, chiropractic, etc., help to block these areas. But what I have observed over 30 years of doing this alternative medicine, this energy medicine, the subtle energy, is more powerful, reaches to the core of the body quicker than anything I've ever seen.
I think what he was alluding to is that if someone is a craniosacral therapist, is palpating, is feeling a dysregulation in the craniosacral flow or whatever the terminology is, that the energy tools aren't going to work. And quite the contrary, if you choose the right energy tool, and I do not do craniosacral therapy, but I've had more than a few craniosacral therapists who work with both autistic kids, that work with adults and so forth, that I've worked with at conferences, I'll choose the correct energy tool, give it to the client, and then say, okay, now go back and feel what you were feeling before. And when it's done properly, they'll feel the blockage is gone. And so I think if you had a little bit more education, a little bit more sharing of the clinical experience that those of us have used these for a long time have, he would see them as an adjunct and a benefit and an enhancement to his cranial sacral therapy rather than just offhandedly going, oh, they don't work if someone has a cranial sacral block. Quite the opposite is true.
Or he ends up in the other game in the therapy world, the individual that won't stay corrected. See, one of the real phenomena that drew me out of conventional chiropractic was the concept that a person that received a spinal adjustment and went out the door, walked down a flight of stairs, and then they needed to be adjusted again. The question that kept rolling around in my head is, how many adjustments does a sick person need to get well? And it's generally however many they can afford.
Mm-hmm.
And the unfortunate thing is, when they are ill, they don't afford very much, so they stay stuck in an illness model. Because what they're losing is innate. They're losing their energetic. They don't have the energy to hold the adjustment or to hold the maneuver, whatever the maneuver may be, whether it's in SOT or craniosacral work, etc. So the point is, what they're missing is the energy to be able to hold the correction.
Absolutely.
A wonderful way of sharing this information with the practitioner is that everybody has a handful of chronics that won't get well that frustrates them. That's where they use the subtle energy. Start with them, and then he becomes a hero.
Right. We obviously are cut from the same cloth because I started my chiropractic career wondering if one of the founders of chiropractic used to try and get people better in 6 adjustments or 8 adjustments or, if we remember, 12 cases. Okay. It was the minimum amount of adjusting to get the maximum amount of effort in the least amount of time out of the patient. And so if you still do adjusting, I know my patients, I don't see them often for 6 to 8 weeks at a time. And their adjustments hold quite well, and sometimes they come back in and I may only have to make 1 or 2 minor corrections or not have to readjust somebody, and they go, gee, you know, you adjusted me that last time you were here and we did all that stuff and I've been taking these things and I don't need to get adjusted anymore. They have the energy to hold themselves within a normal range of motion and normal balance.
Exactly right. And the other funny thing, just as a concept, when we are dealing with folks who do the organic food supplementation or the real food supplements, and they have their applied kinesiology systems designed for them, what I find very cute, and I've had the experience of working with this because in the conferences and the folks I rub elbows with, is you give them 1 or 2 supplements, such as the stress relief and oxygen plus, and then put that into any meridian acupuncture zone that's weak. And 9 times out of 10, it'll strengthen it.
Absolutely, because you're getting the foundational CNS regulatory mechanism.
Sure, so you get the people out of taking 60, 70 supplements a day by taking just a few of the subtle energy things, and then you just buffer the rest of it.
That was my story that we started with today, is 3 or 4 subtle energies and a little cup of tea, and bam, something that would have taken me 2 months and hundreds of supplements or whatever, you know, lots of stuff, was dealt with in a half an hour. And I'll be seeing this gal in 2 weeks, and she's going to get a long-standing result with this because we got to her foundational blockages, which were a lot of emotional energy that she needed and, you know, the heart chakra energy. We find when people are really packing emotion, that the thymus and the heart chakra and the harmony when people resonate for harmony, it's because they're peacemakers or they're trying to juggle a lot of relationships that are disharmonious, where they're caught in between a relationship or a job conflict between a boss and other workers, or they're trying to make peace in the family. It's usually mom is trying to keep siblings from tearing each other apart, or there's conflict and their life is disharmonic and they need some tranquility. You know what helps these people? Music.
Oh, yes.
When they want harmony, they want to listen to nice, peaceful, good music. They don't want to listen to the cacophony of hard rock or some of the modern music. So, you know, you need to go, do you play the piano? And they go, yeah, how do you know? I said, well, you didn't play the piano lately, did you? I asked a girl the other day because she really wanted harmony. And she goes, no, I quit playing the piano lately and it used to make me feel so good. And most of these people will be musicians or have a love of music that want harmony. And when there's disharmony in their life, it's a reality. It's a strange observation, I know, but it does have an effect on the nervous system. One of the therapeutic devices I use uses a 441 megahertz, which is an A note or sound wave. And it's a high-frequency, high-voltage ultrasound that drives the A wave into the body. And it's tremendously healing. And so look to harmony and look to the difference between harmony and tranquility. When someone needs quiet, they want to be tranquil. And tranquility, the names are very important of these products. They are accurately named. Remember that, even if you don't have a way of testing, that the names have been thoughtfully chosen and are very accurate.
Other question?
Yes?
Do you have some general rules about dosing? Because there's a developmental pediatrician, Dr. Pamela Compart here in Columbia, Maryland, was the one that introduced me to energy tools. And she works a lot with autistic children and Down syndrome. And she often uses very small amounts with these kids. She'll start them on maybe one drop a day. And then after a week, she might go up to two drops a day. And I work a lot with bipolar kids and adolescents and things like that. And did some muscle testing. It seemed like many of them tolerate much higher doses fairly quickly. And then there are some kids that can't tolerate such huge amounts, or they can't just go rapidly up to, say, 15 drops over a couple weeks' time or whatever. These are maintenance doses to help them with either bipolar illness or mood disorders or whatever. I'm not sure how to gauge, like, there's certain things that we're looking at to kind of empirically know whether some people might need a very delicate touch as opposed to other people that might benefit from a much more aggressive dosing schedule.
I can give you a little bit of input, and then, Jeff, why don't you and Dr. Davis kick it up. But the one thing that I've noticed in working with this is that if people are hypersensitive to start out with, they usually are sensitive to the drops, and they have to start out with low doses. You guys want to chime in on that?
This is John Cool. I'd like to comment on that. We touched on this about a year ago, and I talked to your aunt, Constance. If you give the products to a schizophrenic, and you give them at a high dose, the effect is powerful and they won't like them. You'll have compliance problems. It's really advisable to start slow and bring them up. For example, a person will say, no, I won't use that because I can't think quickly or something like that, or my speech doesn't come out clear or something. So especially in the more manic phases. So I had much more success with compliance if I started low and just gradually moved it up.
This is Dr. Marangel, and I also have a background in psychology, my undergrad degree in psychology, and I did counseling psychology and psychometrics, and we have a fair amount of bipolar adults and kids, and I think I can speak to that a little bit. If they are primarily depressive, then starting with a slightly higher dose is more beneficial because you're going to move them from being downregulated to increasing the sympathetic tone, whereas the manic dominant bipolar likes being manic. Manic is pretty good. It's when they go downside that they really have their problems. And if they're a primary manic with occasional swings to the depressive side, then I totally agree with what you just said. Very low doses are going to slowly bring them down out of the manic phase. You know, the primary energy in stress relief is the element lithium. And the energy of lithium is much more powerful than the molecular biochemical lithium.
If I just may correct something here, it's tranquility you mean.
I'm sorry, tranquility.
Okay.
Tranquility is primarily lithium energy. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm getting late. I need some clear mind. So if they're already on Lithabid or something like that, you want to start very gently with the tranquility, a drop a day, a drop twice a day, that sort of thing. And definitely using the clear mind is indicated for almost all the psychiatric disorders, because it does help to balance the energy between the right brain and left brain. And it helps unite the corpus callosum and integrate thought. And so this would be an excellent thing for schizophrenics, because probably should have an entire call on psychiatric and psychological application of the energy tools. That's an entire subject. There is a physiology to the central nervous system. We've worked a lot with Tourette's kids, and I have quite a good database on heart rate variability of Tourette syndrome before and after treatment with energy tools and with certain neurotransmitter precursors. Everything from P5P to choline to GPC choline has a tremendous effect on Tourette's syndrome, but especially tranquility and clear mind really helps with that.
Do we have any more questions?
I have a question. Can you use oxygen instead of oxygen plus with the same results of sugar regulation and enhancing the other energy tools?
You mean O2 oxygen, like breathing oxygen?
No, the energy tool, just called
oxygen. Sure. It depends which is best for that particular individual.
Okay, but they both equally will regulate blood sugar.
Dr. D?
Well, I don't know if they were equally regulated. I did not find that plain oxygen would do it. That's why we had them create Oxygen Plus.
Right.
Oxygen Plus is multi-energies together for the purpose of re-regulating kind of the Krebs cycle.
Thank you.
If any of you exercise or walk or do anything like that, you got to take a shot of Oxygen Plus before your exercise. Do your normal routine and then take a dose post-exercise. I've been doing it myself. My son's done it. Kids on his wrestling team have used Oxygen Plus along with certain other supplements that we've given them. But Oxygen Plus and Clear Mind before and after athletic activity is incredible. And if you do exercise, if you do yoga, if you do anything like that, you need to use these tools yourself and try them out and feel what they really do for you.
Yeah, the Oxygen Plus will definitely reduce the recovery time dramatically.
Absolutely.
Almost as if you don't need a recovery time.
Yeah. We would give it to our kids when they go to wrestling tournaments, because you have bursts of intense activity, and then you have to maybe do 3-4 bouts in an evening and then come back the next day. And it's basically an Ironman competition. Whoever can last through a half a dozen wrestling matches in a weekend comes out on top with the gold medal. And it's not always just skill, it's endurance and it's mental toughness. And we've had some of our boys using this. I have a nationally ranked gymnast who just got a full Division I scholarship using energy tools to help him excel and recover from an injury and to get back to his top form. He's one of the top 20 gymnasts in the United States now. So they definitely enhance athletic performance and are useful for people that don't have disease and don't have problems. And gosh, we need them just to get through the days in our offices, and we should look at what are the best energy tools for us and for our mental clarity and for our own health. If you're on the call and you're not using energy tools yourself, you ought to start, because we all need them. We're all human beings and we all have the stress of life and we all want to have optimum health and express life and health ourselves. I had a great comment from one of my patients from Montana today. She said, you know, I really enjoy being at your office, because they expected to see some tea-sipping, skinny vegetarian guy, and that wasn't who I am. They got there and they said, you were vibrant and you were energetic and you're not afraid to have a steak now and again. Yeah, I love using our energy tools. We use them every day. I don't think I could keep up the pace of life that I keep up without them. And so I think we really need them in our own lives, and we should find out which ones work best for us and use them.
Dr. Jeff?
Yes?
Back to the exercise. Do you ever put the Oxygen Plus in some extra hydrating water?
Oh, yeah.
And that
Absolutely.
Gives it an extra kick, doesn't it?
Oh, sure it does. We started on the call talking about the delivery systems and get creative. Put them in your sports drinks, put them in the hydrating water, put them in different teas. Deliver them with your herbals that are liquid herbals and making teas with them. Most of all, learn how to use them for yourself. Experience them. And the more you experience them, the more you'll know how to use them and the more you'll appreciate them.
A question. You mentioned for exercises also clear mind. What's the purpose of it?
Do you want to answer that one?
Basically with athletes, particularly if you're going to do right-hand, left-hand coordination skills and those kinds of behaviors, so like if you're a basketball player or if you're a soccer player, those kinds of things, and even just jogging, just to maintain your coordination and balance, you'll find that you'll move quicker, faster, easier, because left-right brain balance is indeed balanced.
Yeah, your neuromuscular control and muscle strength on right and left side will be enhanced using ClearMind.
Because what you'll have happen so many times, particularly in competition, like whether it be ping pong or whether it be racquetball or tennis, basketball, whatever it is that causes you to get into a real heightened state of energetic behavior as an athlete, and then all of a sudden confusion hits. And the confusion is just locking up brain neurotransmitters, and so it's just not able to flow. And if you use ClearMind, what happens is you don't have that experience. And it's sometimes the difference between winning and losing. It's the difference between being at the foul line and making the shot, just because the adrenals go into fire and the dopamine doesn't quite accelerate enough. And, you know, like Michael Jordan used to say, the reason he could hit that basket from all over the court is that it looked like a great big old garbage can rather than a small basketball hoop. And what happens is when you're in a stress mode, lockdown mode, nervous mode, and your left-right brain is in that chatter that's going on, that basket hoop actually becomes smaller in perception rather than larger. And ClearMind just allows you to not go to that mode.
Dr. Davis?
Uh-huh.
I have a question. Are you doing any work with Lyme patients?
Oh, yes.
And what are you using?
Well, there's a number of things we're using, but as far as a protocol that we've kind of revamped and continue to revamp, it'll be an oxygen plus type of a formula. It's this Demento that actually is through Nutramedics and Dr. Constance. I'm sure they can get you in how to get a hold of that. But it is the liquid cat's claw that was actually energy infused, and so it really has a powerful effect. And then we also use thymus, acute or chronic immune, depending on where they're at in their game plan.
So just the three remedies.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I want to thank everybody for being on the call and to remind you that we will have another conference call coming up again on March the 24th. And looks like it'll be the digestive system that we'll talk about then. And I want to thank everybody, and in particular Dr. Davis and Dr. Marangel, for your, as always, wonderful insight and sharing of your clinical experience. And we'll close it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you.